Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How the tradition of putting up these giant Christmas trees in public get started? How far back does that go?
You know, that is a good question. I'd say that goes back to, you know, really the beginning of using Christmas trees.
A little history before the fun stuff. It looks like most experts agree that Christmas trees started in Germany in the 16th century. That's according to the History Channel. And that Martin Luther, a Protestant reformer from that time, started the practice of putting candles on those trees.
You know, I would think that even 500 years ago, they probably should have realized that that's a really dangerous thing to do.
Especially before modern firefighting technology. But naturally, the tradition likely came to America because German immigrants brought it with them.
And now they're everywhere. Of course, from our living rooms to every public square in the U.S., even some hanging from our rearview mirrors.
I guess so, in some cases.
I'm Mike Rogers, and that is Chris Blake, and this is Something Offbeat. Now today, we're going to speak with Rodney Jacobs, Stimson Lumber in Oregon. He is responsible for selecting the tree that's placed in downtown Portland every year, and there's a lot more that goes into it than you might think.
And your responsibility has been for finding the tree that goes up in Portland every
yes.
year. Tell me about that. Is this like downtown? Is it in a certain location every year?
Yeah. So it's always at the Pioneer Courthouse Square. And for 40 years, they have been erecting a 75-foot tall Douglas fir. And for the past 23 years, Stimson Lumber has had the honor of donating the tree to that facility.
How did you guys get that gig?
So our corporate headquarters was located adjacent to the Pioneer Courthouse Square. And we had our CFO was on the board of directors for Pioneer Courthouse Square. And the two just, you know, say, hey, we're going to donate the tree.
75 feet. That's what you said, right?
Yes.
How does that compare to some of the other famous ones? Rockefeller Center, say, the one in front of the Capitol?
You know, I think the Capitol tree might be about 50 feet. Rockefeller, I think it's 70 feet. But like the Kansas City Hallmark tree, you know, the Hallmark gift cards, I think that's 105 feet tall. So that's definitely the tree to beat.
But you're up there.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes.
Rodney gave us a few examples, but I've been doing some investigative reporting trying to get to the bottom of this question. Where is the tallest Christmas tree in America?
All right, I'm waiting for the answer. What did you get?
It's complicated.
That seems pretty straightforward to me.
Well, there's a lot of qualifiers. Ferndale, California claims to have the world's tallest living Christmas tree. It's between 151 and 162 feet tall.
That doesn't count.
Meanwhile, a county over in Eureka, the Sequoia Park Zoo claims to have the tallest lit Christmas tree in the country, but it won't disclose the exact height. And as you can imagine, this has created quite the rivalry along the Northern California coast.
You know, as far as those lights are concerned, there's no way that they've got lights all the way to the top of that tree. And that should probably be mandatory.
You want another qualifier?
I do. Go ahead.
The ones that are the most famous, of course, this year's tree at Rockefeller Center, 74 feet tall, and the Capitol Christmas tree is 80 feet tall. So the tree in Portland is giving those a run for their money.
How do you choose one? What goes into that?
The biggest thing is trying to get it out. You know, so it has to be a well-formed tree. So it has to be structurally sound. So it's a straight tree. It has to be near a road, because we'll be having a large crane coming up there to pick it up. And then the road itself has to be about 20 feet wide. So we're looking for an open grown tree next to a road is the ideal selection criteria. And then we attach a lot of extra branches to this tree to give it the full look. And so it has to be near some other trees that we can cut branches from.
How long does it take generally to cut down a 75 foot tree, and what's involved in that?
So it usually takes about a week's worth of work with about the 20 individuals who have play some role in it. But as far as we'll usually go out there the day before with a 65-foot boom lift, and we'll work with a crew of about six individuals, and we'll go up the tree and cut extra branches. We need about 400 extra branches to supply to the square so they can attach all these extra branches to fill in the holes.
And I'm not going to lie, Chris, I feel a little duped here.
I do too. I never knew they filled in the holes with branches from other trees, but I guess I would be naive to think they all come out looking perfect.
They're just cannibalizing them. These poor trees back in the woods, he's got a few limbs amputated so the star of the show can shine a little brighter.
The tree that we send there is completely whole. But our trees grow about 3 feet per year, and that just creates a gap in between all the branches. And so it looks kind of like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree when it first arrives to the square. So the square has developed a process to attach extra branches into the little holes to give it a full look that's more traditional.
And I have to ask you this, too. This is, once again, this is the little boy in me coming out. Once the tree is dead, what kind of truck is involved and how do you get it on the truck?
This is about a 60-foot trailer, tractor trailer, and we have pedestals that hold the tree up. The pedestals will have their little saddle maybe 6 feet off the ground or off the bed of the trailer. When the crane picks the tree up, it tips it horizontal and we set it down on top of the saddle.
How far in advance, how many years in advance are the trees selected? Do you pick one 3, 4, 5 years ahead of time?
So we always have a few that we're watching. So this is our 23rd year doing the tree, and I think we're going to be doing 24. We'll probably do the next 5 years as well. So we do look at trees that are good candidates, and then we just kind of watch them throughout the year. And then finally, around August of each year, we finally start looking at it more seriously. Say, okay, this is the tree to use. And then once we have that tree selected, we always pick a backup. Just in case something were to happen, we always have a backup to fall back on.
Don't you have to back up a certain distance to get a good view of it?
Yeah, so the crane will park 30 feet away. The center of the crane is 30 feet away from the tree itself. So we are very close. So we'll walk up and down the road. If it's near a hill, kind of climb up. Now we use drones to fly up and down the tree, fly around it to get a different view of it. That's been a nice change of technology for us.
Is it a bittersweet experience in a way to have to cut these down? You've grown them, you've nurtured them for so long, and then you come in and end their life just like that.
You know, not so much. That's our business. We are a lumber company. We grow trees to harvest trees to make 2x4s. And so that's part of our business. But there are trees along the road that you like seeing, and you know, everybody likes to see a big tree, but we don't develop a personal relationship with them.
And when the holiday season finally comes to an end, who removes it? Who takes it down? And where does it go? What happens to it?
There's been a lot of different things that have happened to this tree. So the tree is now the responsibility of City of Portland, Pioneer Courthouse Square, Portland Parks, I believe is the name of it. Anyway, so what they'll do is they'll cut the branches. A lot of the branches probably get chipped up and just whatever the mulch is used for. They have taken larger pieces of the tree and put it into local streams as large woody debris for fish habitat. In the past, we've also tried to recycle the tree, so to speak, or bring it back to the mill to produce lumber. We've used that before. We've also taken an equal amount of tree wood volume and donate it in 2x4s to Habitat for Humanity.
That's kind of cool. You had a house made out of the City of Portland's Christmas tree.
A portion of the house, yes.
You've done this for over 20 years. Do you have a collection of pictures of you standing next to the trees over the years?
Over the years, I do. I do. You know, I don't have a good collage put together, but we definitely take a picture every year. City of Portland, Pioneer Courthouse Square, they have an annual Christmas card that they send out. And so I have a picture of every tree for the past 23 years.
All
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. Now, to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, tell us about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com. And here's hoping you and yours have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season.